miss CITR a lot, but I've been busy with life and school, and life's pretty shitty, but I won't go into that. Yeah.
But thank you, yeah, for
Maybe
coming.
I'll be back closer to the Christmas break.
Yeah, you're
Maybe.
always welcome.
Maybe. We'll see. I'll try.
Okay, thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend
Yeah.
because my weekend starts tonight
Sweet.
and it looks like at the Strung Out show.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you, bye-bye. And I would like to finish up the Flatliners, my favorite Canadian band.
Sweet.
Bye.
Disagree. And you listen to Ink Studs on CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Ink Studs, the radio show where I talk most of the time about comics, sometimes other stuff. I think today is going to be another stuff kind of day. My guest today, and I totally forgot to find out how to pronounce her name. Is it Sonia Ahler? Aller?
Sonia Ahlers.
Sonia Ahlers. I apologize.
Okay, everyone does this.
And I think I read like somewhere in Fatal Distraction where... Was it that one that had, like, the antler and the...
Oh, my God. You're so good. Yeah, not many people pick up on Thanks.
I try to read my... read the work of the person I'm going to be chatting with. I guess let folks know the books that I have, Fatal Distraction and The Selves, and you also did Temper, but that was many moons ago, and I doubt anyone can find a copy now.
It's out of print, yeah. It's hard to find.
And you know what's funny is, like, I didn't bother looking for it because I figured it, and I saw the cover, and it looked really familiar, and so I know I've seen it recently somewhere around...
Oh, Lucas said there's a copy for sale at Solder and Sons.
I know that store.
I think he was going to run down and buy it. Some copies are selling for a couple $100s on Amazon.
What?
Apparently.
Okay, folks. Ignore.
I'm buying it.
It's don't go and buy that there, folks. So I can down there go buy it. yeah, it's that store's weird. Like it's. Right in the heart of, like, the downtown east side, but it's, like, this weird coffee shop. I think he used to own a bookstore up on Main Street.
Chroma.
Yes. And then he also used to work at that jazz bookstore.
A jazz bookstore?
The one at Seymour and Pender.
Oh.
Many years ago. Okay. That's a long time ago. But, yeah, there's some neat stuff in that store. I picked up some old Luke Ramsey stuff, and there's a bunch of Jason McClane stuff, and obviously... Your book, which I probably looked at and didn't pick up like the idiot I am. Your latest book is The Selves from Drawn and Quarterly, part of their Petit Livre series. But it's not a wee book.
It's not a what book?
It's not a little book.
No, it's no. That's the irony.
At first those books were all like really small little art books, but it's kind of a misnomer at this point.
I kind of pushed it. I asked to have a larger size because I wanted to go sort of more magazine size. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was happy to have that space.
It was a specific aesthetic you're going for, I guess.
Yeah. Because I have binders of my archives of images, and I use plastic sleeves to store everything, so everything's basically 8.5 by 10, or with just bits and pieces sort of shoved into these archival plastic sleeves, and that's sort of how the book starts to form from that size. So it's good to try to stay true to that. Did that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. No, that does exactly make sense.
Part of my process, use this like archiving system. It's very complicated.
I want to get a little bit of background into your work. I'm going to make some presumptions looking through your stuff and just little things I've read. I'm presuming you were really big into zines in the 90s.
Yes. I guess like 1998 when my first book came out, that's Temper, I was dubbed the zine queen of Canada, and I just... What? Are you... Oh, God. So, and me being who I was back then was... I didn't like to be put into a box. I didn't want to be put into a box. It was just this sort of, the whole Nirvana, Kurt Cobain influence of just, like, just incredibly negative and cynical. And I didn't want to be called a zine queen. I actually, all the booklets, I made little books back then. I called them little books. I called them chapbooks. I never called them zines. Because to me back then, zines were, it was short for fanzine. It was about, and I wasn't being a fan. Let's just put it that way. It was like pretty hardcore, emotional, and very raw poetry and images, basically, that I was putting together back then, so I didn't think of them as a zine. But I was wrong.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting whole culture of that time. A lot of the folks I talked to that were around for that is kind of more of the comics end. And I have some folks like that kind of dabbled more on that side, and then, you know, both sides of the paper, I guess. Like John Porcellino, or like, I guess Mark Bell was doing some zines. Was he doing many? Yeah, I've got some old rough stuff. But yeah, so it's, and growing up where I did in Vancouver, like, I kind of remember all of the different, like, I think Scratch was the place to get all the zines then.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Well, here's the deal. I had many, many pen pals, and we exchanged zines, and I used to read Fact Sheet 5, and I'd go through all of the listings of every zine, and I would, you know, I'd pour over that, and then... But what I was looking for was, it just wasn't really there. I mean, I'd go through like hundreds of zine titles and descriptions, and I would find one thing that I was interested in. And one of those things was a little booklet. It was all about candy packaging. and I'm like, oh, this sounds really interesting. What is this? And I, you know, sent a dollar, $2 or whatever to this person in Toronto, and ended up being a man named Ian Phillips, who had his own small publishing venture called Pas de Chance, and he and I ended up becoming best friends, or close friends. We're still really, really close friends, and that was 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's how I made friends back then, pen pals, and that's how I made my connections.
The world before blogs.
That's correct. Yeah.
Kids, you may remember these things. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, for real.
So have you always been kind of into doing the clipped up, cut up collage work? Or what would have I seen, say, in Temper Temper?
What would you have seen?
Yeah.
Well, it's all black and white. It's pretty, I mean, it's very raw, very, very raw material. There's everything in that. There's an image I borrowed from a friend of mine who used mascara to draw on a bounce sheet. And then the text says, I'm mad at Ted Hughes. That's my friend Lisa Smolkin. You know, there's everything in there. Anything that I could photocopy, basically. You know, I had, like, crocheted dolls that I was putting on the photocopier. That's how I did most of my work back then. Enlarging and diminishing. What is it? Downsize.
Shrinking.
Yeah, that's what was happening. A lot of whatever I could do on the photocopier.
But you also, like, I'm really curious the fact that you do so much, like, text, grabbing images, but you're also a completely capable illustrator at the same time.
I am, but I've always drawn. I did start doing comics when I was a kid, when I was about 9. And I think I learned how to draw by copying Charles Schulz, you know, doing Peanuts characters. And, kids at school, it was a way of getting attention, actually, like literally drawing attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because kids would sort of hover around me and watch me draw. So I was like, oh, cool. So, and I mean, I remember one kid saying that Charles Schulz would be jealous, which is very funny. Well, I mean, I guess I can get the line down. I'm good with lines, so just doing the, you know, but I've moved away from that, like the style that I was using in Temper Temper and Fatal Distraction. Obviously people move on, but I'm a lazy drawer. I don't draw enough. I find that when I do go to draw, it's like I have to reteach myself every time. And it's a practice. You need to do it every day if you want to be good. And I'm a perfectionist. And if I can't do it the way I want to do it, or I don't have the time, then I ask an illustrator, like a friend who can, you know, bang it out in 10 minutes. I have a friend, Brooke Nekvitel, who did a lot of the illustration in The Cell. She just sits in front of the TV and doodles, and she's a master. And I really like working with my friends, and I want to encourage other female artists, and I'm providing a, you know, space for her to do work. And I mean, doing books like this, it's like you need a small community to put them out, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's the funny thing, like, or the, I don't know, funny, interesting thing, because I look at your work and you're saying raw before, and it's very raw. It's very, I don't want to say primitive, but very, like, stripped down, like, stabbing, like, points that you're putting out, very personal, but then you're doing something so personal in a collaborative format, which I find really fascinating, like how you're able to kind of work with other people that's something so focused to yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I like working with friends because we have that connection, and we're all kind of expressing the same sort of emotion and feeling. Do you know what I mean? So It works. Collaborating like that is amazing.
It's, I guess, with that is the kind of some of the ideas that you're kind of running into or attacking or utilizing. There seems to be an arc throughout at least the two works that I've read. It's definitely a big focus on your own personal identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, what do you see kind of putting your identity in there, and what do you see pulling out of your identity with that work?
Pulling out of my, what do you mean? Can you,
like, do you kind of, you go through it and, like, you know, it's a process. Creating this work is a process.
Absolutely.
Regardless of, like, I know, like you're saying, you talk about the sleeves, and I was also reading, like, how you kind of mash everything together and kind of work it out and after kind of creating a narrative to it. But do you kind of have, like, what kind of results do you have from the end product of this work on yourself?
Oh, you mean, you know, like what have I worked through?
or just kind of like seeing for yourself what you didn't think of before.
Okay, yeah. Well, because I work so intuitively, I mean, stuff happens that I actually don't have any control over. And it's like, whoa, what happened there? That's why I love collage so much, because, like, stuff, images, literally, they land on, like, they'll land on top of each other on my desk. I'm like, how did this happen? These two things coming together. It's like when you're actually, like, holding pieces of paper, and it almost works itself out. It's a very, very strange process, like a way of working. I can't, like, you, when you're drawing, it's so deliberate. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you can, you know, tune out and it goes places that you don't plan to go to, but using collage and using original drawing, when you're incorporating all these different mediums, that's when original work comes out. Like, you just don't know what's gonna happen when you're pulling it all together. And then I can go back and say, oh, wow, look, what happened here? I mean, there's stuff in the cells that it was surprising to me. Like, and a lot of it was design, just images that's how it fit together. Like the two-page spread, I had to balance those out to make them work, you know? So it's interesting to see what happens.
It's fascinating, like the whole use of collage. One thing I find interesting is that, because you're talking about how when you're drawing, you have to have a sense of purpose or like something specific in mind to draw. But with collages, you can kind of just let it go and just kind of explore.
Yes. It's more organic and more intuitive. And that's how I work.
I'm going to do a quick song break. What would you like to hear?
Oh, gee. How about the Playgroup song with Kathleen Hanna?
Miss Kathleen Hanna, who has a quote on the back of your book, which is very nice to have. I don't think people would complain about that. We'll be right back. Ink Studs, CITR 101.9 FM. We'll be right back. Oh, that ended suddenly. Oops.
No, that's the ending.
Okay. I found a different version of the one you'd sent me, so I'm hoping.
Oh, good.
Inkstud CITR 101.9 FM, and I'm hoping I get this right. I'm sorry if I don't. My guest today is Sonia Allers.
Allers.
Allers,
A-W-L. Just pretend it's A-W-L.
There we go. A-W-L. I'm going to write that out. See, I'm writing it out right now. You can't see it because you're in Whitehorse.
Yeah.
I got it right. There we go. Yeah. Lovely Yukon. What an odd place to be living, saying
it is a temporary. I'm on a retreat. Retreat.
You're up there back and forth, or...
Yeah, I've been going back and forth between here, Whitehorse, and Toronto for 3 years, and I'm from BC. Part of that, Vancouver, Victoria, etc.
Everyone leaves Vancouver eventually.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Some, not all.
Some people leave, some people don't. That's okay. They can do what they want. What's it like up there as far as an art scene?
Art scene?
Is there art much up there?
Yeah, there's lots of art up here. Everyone's making art. There's a lot of funding.
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. Very generous, very supportive community. Yeah, it's really nice.
Now, we were talking for listeners about Sonia's new book, The Selves, as well as... Fatal Distraction and the much out of print and hard to find Temper, which apparently I can find if I beat a local person there to that store.
Well, talk to Lucas. He may have gone and picked it up, but you know, I have a few copies kicking around. I actually have to buy it myself online when it comes up. I'm like, oh, I better get that. I had no idea I'd be doing this. 10 years ago.
Has your art kind of taken its own direction and you just kind of follow it?
I think so. I think that's the only way to describe it. It's been a long and windy road. Winding. I don't know. I don't have a lot of reference points. Like, what I'm doing is what I've kind of figured out for myself. So when I say reference points, it's not a lot of people that I can't really compare it to anyone else. So a lot of the time, like over the years, it's just been a lot of like, WTF am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, I spent probably a decade feeling that way.
Well, you've done, like, your illustration work's been featured in other work, hasn't it?
Sorry, what was that?
Has your illustration work been featured elsewhere outside of your books?
Yeah, I've done book covers. I really enjoy doing book covers and album art. Animations, I've done some stuff with friends. I guess because it's such a specific aesthetic and I really only do what I want to do, I can't really compromise on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not an illustrator, you know?
No.
I'm not. So people find, they seek me out who they like what I do, and then we will collaborate, like with book covers and stuff. That's been awesome. I love doing that.
Why don't we talk a little bit about some of the topics you're, I guess, attacking. Is attacking a good sense of the word? Like, I feel like you're kind of digesting it and, like, you know, putting it out there.
Yes, absolutely.
One, I feel like it's kind of a notion of public identity, private identity for women. And so I just curious, like, how do you interpret that in your work? Like, what is the message you're trying to get across with that?
Well, with the selves, let's see. I guess using it's basically a cast of characters, and I don't know if you've seen that Todd Solondz movie Palindromes, or the Bob Dylan I'm Not There, the Todd Haynes. Like, the both of them have used a device. Like, they they're using six or seven different people to play one character, and the different, like, of different age, race, gender. So with the cells, it is kind of one character, and I'm using images of Marilyn Monroe and Princess Diana, and just to sort of illustrate, I guess, like a kind of a general, or more of a universal theme of what women go through. It's just sort of trying to encompass this cast of characters to illustrate a certain malaise, I suppose.
Yeah.
I really want to expose that. I mean, these women, you know, they're like princesses and queens and movie stars, and all of them still feeling the same sense of sadness and loneliness. I think it's fascinating.
That's what I'm curious, especially with the private stuff. Like, you really use a lot of images of, like, this kind of sense of innocence that takes them outside of this public persona.
Uh-huh. Vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the images of Diana as a, you know, 12-year-old watching television, like portraits of her watching TV, looking completely depressed. You know?
Yeah. How does Jerry Blank fit into all of this? Is she innocent? Is she vulnerable? Or
no,
is she kind of the epitome of...
You know, yeah, of the most hilarious thing I've ever... I am obsessed. Strangers with Candy is honest. I think it's the most amazing show. They did that 10 years ago. Everything is completely relevant. It was so ahead of its time.
I'm a user, a loser, or a user, an abuser, and a three-time loser.
Yeah, that works. I'll Google that and get back to you immediately. Actually, you Google that. I'm afraid for my Skype connection. Anyway. No, see, that's the thing. That's what I think I'm good at, is that I'm able to look at things that are tragic and sad and pretty and then hilarious. You know, that's what I have to have, that those three things in place. And Jerry Blank is absolutely hilarious, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Amy Sedaris. I actually have her home address right now, and I'm going to send her a copy of the book.
I'm always kicking myself for I went to New York and apparently she makes muffins for a bakery and I walked right...
Cupcakes.
Sorry.
And cheese balls.
And cheese balls.
Cheese balls,
oh
yeah.
I am so getting some of her cheese balls when I'm in there.
She has a recipe in that book, that I Like You book, her hostess recipe book. My friends, we made the cheese ball. It was the sickest thing. It probably weighed, it was like a boulder. Oh my, I had to give it away in sections. We had it for a party. It just, yeah, it was unbelievable.
There's something I've always found really odd about cheese balls that just, like, didn't sit right with me. It's just kind of like, it's a cheese ball, and it's, what is it? Just a ball of different cheese mashed together.
Like cream cheese, like the only sort of healthy thing are like almond, like shaved almond bits.
I don't like nuts.
What?
And I don't like nuts, so having that on my cheese, I don't get that.
That's just for the, I think that's just sort of the outer layer. Just give it a bit of form. It's really disgusting. I will never eat it again. Yeah.
But I'll have to try it anyways. Either that, or I think I'd rather go for the cupcakes, I think.
Yes, of course.
It's a wiser choice. In the back of Fatal Distractions, you made a reference to Henry Rollins going through your book or something. That's my Nardwuar question of the day.
Nardwuar? When my first book came out in 1998... takes me a long time to make books. I sent him a copy because he had a publishing company at the time, and I was just sort of, I used to do things back then in my 20s, like a bit more sort of ballsy, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, oh, I got to find another, I who's going to put out my next book, or who's going to, you know, what am I need to sort of find something I can relate to. And I knew he was putting a few things out by different women. So I sent him a copy then, and he was very responsive and sent me an email immediately. And then we became pen pals, and it was really fun. So that went on for quite a while. And then we hung out a few times. It was fun. He's a nice guy. Fun to hang out with.
Crazy.
Yeah. Odd.
So did he help much with the Fatal Distraction, the editing, or was he complete?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he had amazing advice. He's incredibly intelligent. I sent him a copy, like a whatever, a rough, and he gave me very valuable advice, and I'm not sure if I took it, because that's what I'm like. Because sometimes I think it's like I need a sledgehammer to get certain things through in my brain. But he told me, he said, I think I actually put this in the back of the book, in the thank you section. He said, Sonia, you just offer them a cup of espresso. You don't have to give them the entire pot.
Yes.
So, yeah, absolutely. Fatal Distraction could definitely use a couple more edits. The thing with what I do, yeah, I'm a real crammer. Like I,
well, it's
hard to let go of certain material, you know. Really is.
The big difference between the two books, though, is like The Selves is visually, there's a lot to take in on each page, but Fatal Distractions is more kind of, I find it sparse and bare bones in a way, and it's more. I find a lot more raw. Like, in the fact that you're really putting a lot of yourself in there. But
okay, then you really need to look at that thing. It's like completely exposed.
That's what I mean. No, I mean, like, it is putting yourself all out there. But, like, that as far as, like, each page isn't as filled with imagery as much as the other book.
Yeah.
So it's like, cool. It's done in a different way. Yes, I feel that you have kind of spilt your blood all over the pages.
Of Fatal Distraction.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. That's interesting. Because I was holding back, for sure. I mean, I think I do hold back. I would love to just completely spill my guts and I mean, maybe I will be able to do that in the next project. I don't know. But then I think, who cares? Like, who wants to read about that? But I know I like to read about that, so it's hard. It's a tough call. I'd love to be more exposed. It's just, you know, sometimes you have to be a bit more protected. And, I mean, with The Selves, I feel it's thinly veiled autobiography. And people have been so responsive to it because, you know, they relate to these icons and this pop culture, and it has a more of a universal, it has that to it. I mean, a little bit more than Fatal Distraction, for instance. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's more, The Selves is more visually representational of, well, Fatal Distraction
is textually. It's very visual. There's hardly any text. Yeah.
And the text, I find it interesting, the text within The Selves, because, I mean, it's very, very minimal text.
Yeah.
And it kind of, like, with the Fatal Distraction, I feel like you're speaking very fluidly. With this, the text in The Selves, it's more kind of a comment on the images itself.
Yes, good call.
Now, how do I come up with a question from that? I'm curious, maybe about kind of how you have pared it down, and how you have kind of, because you said, you know, you've had to really, like, take it down to what the book is. Did you have a lot more to it, to The Selves, and, like...
Did I have more material?
Yeah.
Well, that could probably be one in a volume, I'd say. there's a lot. I'm sitting on a lot of material. a lot of material. Well, it's interesting, because... I mean, most of my stuff is in storage right now because I've been going back and forth, like, all over the countryside, basically. So I started The Selves in Toronto, and I had, you know, just I didn't have all my material, basically, like the entire archive. So I was just working with more recent stuff, like stuff I've accumulated in the last couple of years. So I'd say because I didn't have access to everything else, it's very pared down. And that's a good thing for me, because when I have too much to work from, that's when it's too scattered. And, you know, like I was saying earlier about cramming, I'd like to use what I have and what's available, like, you know, and when you don't have enough as much to work from, it's, you know, it's better boundary wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes. It holds you back from going too far.
Yes. Yes.
How involved was John and Coraline Farr's the process of cobbling it together?
Oh, well, amazingly, every book I've put out, everyone just lets me do stuff. They're like, she's going to do what she's going to do, so we're just going to let her do that. At least that's the feeling I've got, which is basically carte blanche, which is a miracle. That's actually, I mean, it is, it's hard, too, because, like I said, I'm like, what am I doing, you know? And I have to say, I don't have a plan. I just start the work. I have it literally unfolds, and I don't know what I've done till it's done.
Yeah.
So that's also really scary working that way. I mean, with panels, like doing comics, like you have it plotted out, like, and you have to have it organized, and like it's sequential, like that's the way you do it. But with what I do, it's just like free form, you know? So they were incredible. Like they just, I mean, Peggy, she found me and she knew what I did. She really liked this watercolor collage series that I did. So knowing that that was what they were interested in, I was sort of, that was where I started. I worked from those images, and then a book. I started it in Toronto and then I finished it in Whitehorse. So it was an interesting process. It was really good.
I think.
Yeah?
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was gonna say we'll do a quick song break because we're about 20 minutes to.
Okay.
And we'll come right back. How's that sound?
Perfect.
What would you like to hear? The PJ Harvey or the?
Yeah, why not? Let's hear something sad and depressing.
Oh, thank you, PJ. We'll be right back. Inkstead, CITR 101.9 FM. Inkstead, CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Inkstead's radio show where we most of the time chat about comics. I'm not doing that today. My guest right now is Sonia Ahlers. We're talking about her two books, The Selves and Fatal Distraction, and Process Collaging Feminism. Well, actually, I haven't talked too much about feminism, have we?
No.
No. Should we?
I'm not really this theory. I just want women to be making more art. That's all, really, truly. And for it to be supported and appreciated. That's all.
That's a very quick soundbite.
I could go on. That's its own thing. Absolutely.
Well, I think that there's something to be said about the idea of representation and how women are represented in art. And like, I'm not very well learned in as far as like regular non-comics art goes. And one interesting thing my girlfriend was telling me from her own art history is like the usage of with women in art, it would always be you'd see photos of the artist with their work, and men doing art, you would just see the work. And
That's fascinating.
Yeah, and then so how that art is purposed towards the person's appearance, where with like someone else's art, it's just about the art itself.
That's fascinating. That's really interesting. It's like proving the woman has to stand with the art. Like, I actually did this. Like, put the two together. Is that sort of what you mean? Is that what you're saying? Like, the women feet like photographed with their work.
Yeah.
The men just their work. Yeah, no, think of that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, if you look at that, you'll kind of see that more and more. So it's interesting, and I was wondering if that was something you're kind of knowledgeable of, because when I look at your work, it's kind of talking about how women are expected to be presented.
You mean physical?
Like, yeah, just, like, physical their presentation.
Beauty, their beauty, yeah.
Yeah, true.
It's super exploited. That makes me think of the image I have of Camille Claudel, who was a protege, a sculptor. She worked with Rodin, and I don't know, there's a bit of text in there about it. I mean, she was his mistress, and I mean, she went crazy. I know, it's just a horrible story. I mean, and so few people saw her work, but she was better than Rodin.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's right there. Part of her identity is the fact that she was his mistress, that she had some kind of mental instability.
We've heard this story many times. It's unbelievably cliche.
You know? Yeah. I don't know. It's not a discussed topic, I guess, in kind of a lot of circles. Some circles it's extremely discussed, and being a dude, I'm not part of those circles most of the time.
Well, you know, that's my job.
Well, I mean, it's funny, like, there's still some folks, like, there still has to be kind of a defense of feminism.
Yes,
I'm curious, do you still feel that?
I'm sick of that, too. That's so tiresome. I like to feel embarrassed about discussing it and just how people, you know, get their back up about it. I don't know. It's ridiculous. You know, it's interesting, too. I have to say this. I just learned this in, like, this summer, actually. 1998, Time Magazine declared feminism dead. And Back to Temper, that's the year my book came out. I just think that's so funny.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
You know, it's...
How many times has it been declared dead? It just, how does something like that die? I don't understand.
Do you feel like up to kind of a kind of modern, kind of providing a modern interpretation for the, like, I don't want to say the Luddite, but I almost feel like that's almost a term to use here for folks that just aren't getting why there needs to still be this important acknowledgement, or at least lens.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I feel like the 90s was, like, there were some good steps forward, But I mean all the Riot Girl and Lady Fest and all these amazing women making music and films and books. It was such a good time. It was very fertile. I feel, though, that once the Spice Girls entered the scene, it was like 10 steps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But now things are shifting again. I mean, it's all changing. Yeah, I mean, talk to Lucas. He can school you. He's organizing a show right now. I think six women. It's called Sea Change. It's all collage, women working with collage. It's going to be amazing. I'm very excited about it. It's going to be in Vancouver at the Lion's Den. So you should go.
Excellent.
And talk to him. Ask him about it.
Yeah. No. Just so folks know, Lucas Soy, Soi.
Binder. He's our binding. He's our buddy.
Yeah, he's 12. He's actually been on the show once a couple of years ago. So if you want to check him out, inkstuds.com has it.
Oh, right.
There we go. Where do you want to kind of go with your art, or do you kind of have any sense of purpose?
I think I do now have sense of purpose. Well, like I said earlier, I did spend probably a decade wondering what I was doing. You know, it was hard. But things are changing. Thank goodness. I just want to keep making books. I might be doing an animation shortly. That's like being discussed. I'm excited about that idea, using the collage. I mean, I'm working on my next book. That's like a monster. I've been working on it for 5 years now, I'd say. And I have to keep putting it away, pulling it back out. And I'm actually working on it. I'm trying to get as much done right now as I can before I have to start making bunnies.
Making bunnies. The bunnies.
My craft item. My craft item supports my art. Been making them for 15 years. You know this.
My girlfriend works at Blim. They got the bunnies there.
Oh, no kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Exciting. Tell folks about the bunnies.
Oh, gee. Well, I've been making them for 15 years out of using recycled Angora sweaters. And, they're called the Fierce Bunny. I'd like to do a book, a book on the bunnies, an illustrated book, on like a kid's, you know, a fable.
Mm-hmm.
that would make me very happy. Because it's really hard for me to keep making them.
Yeah.
And I just keep raising my prices, and that alienates a lot of people. And, I like making them. They're fun. Like, they start off quite angry. They were horrible in the beginning. They look like these crude, bad, weird, folk arty objects, and now they're very peaceful looking.
They kind of look like they're, like, tucked into bed or something.
Yeah, they look like they're sleeping, and which is interesting. I never planned that. Like, again, yeah, I just make these things. They just sort of come out of me, like, literally happen in my hands. So that's the fun part of making things.
What makes it different as a craft compared to the rest of your work?
Well, I suppose it's more of an art craft. What's different? Oh, it's because it's my job. That's my job. And I only do it, seasonally. I just do it like a few months out of the year. And I finally have control over this now. I mean, I've been very fearful. People love these freaking, they love the bunnies. And it's like a monster. I can't control it. People go crazy for them. And it's been really hard to figure out how to just not have it take over my life and take over, like, then I wouldn't be able to do my art, which is part of my survival, basically. Like, I have to make art, you know? But anyway, it's good. I've got it down. What?
It's creating a balance.
Yes, of course. And that's just, that's the goal. Working. Everything's good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're at the pretty close to the end of our time here.
That went fast.
I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, we're going to fill up an hour. the song, keep going.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Thank you. Me too.
It was swell. And so the next book, it's going to be quite a while.
Yeah, it's all about breakup.
Sounds like a happy book.
It's about love. Yeah, it's a friggin' nightmare. It's a nightmare. It's okay. I've got it under control, but it's huge.
Is this something you're kind of doing under your own steam, or is there a publisher specifically interested in it?
I haven't even got to that point yet. Right now, it's just mountains and mountains of material, and I'm just sifting through it and processing, and I'm still dealing with the actual incidents that caused me to write the material. So I don't know what shape. I'm trying to figure out the shape of it right now, actually. So excited. It's probably the biggest thing I've done.
I kind of feel like your blog is also working as like a continued dialogue.
Ah. Yeah.
Looking at the image selections up there, like every time, it seems like it's just an explosion on the web to me.
Oh, nice. I got to get back into the blog. Like, again, talking about making oneself vulnerable, if I had it my way, I would be just spilling my guts on that. But I do feel I have to be careful and I have to, do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
If I could have a persona or something, it might be nicer, fake name or whatever. It's hard to find the balance of what to put out and
that's also another interesting thing is like you put yourself out there, you put everything out there, and it's so like, well, you got to be careful how much you put out there because of your identity, and how do you kind of diffuse the two or separate the two, but can you really separate the two?
Totally persona. And I also have a fear of hurting people's feelings. Like, I don't want to upset anybody, and some of my personal opinions are pretty, pretty brutal. It's hard, I'm like, oh my God, like so critical. And so, yeah, I have to just not try, work really hard to not be that way, to try to stay positive.
I think we're all really critical. We just don't let everyone know.
I know. That's what bugs me. I'm like, come on, people, let's just get it all out on the table.
I've realized. I've realized I need to shut up a lot more often.
Oh, really? That sucks. Self-censorship, that's a bummer. I think people should... I mean, maybe if we all just had it out, things would
maybe. Shift. We should all just be fighting all the time.
Yeah, why not?
There we go. All right, thank you so much, Sonia.
Thank you, Robin.
And have a good day.
You too.
Bye. Just a reminder, folks, that was Sonia Ahlers, the books Fatal Distraction and The Selves, and thank you so much for joining me. Up next is, I don't know what's up next, because Japanese Music Quest isn't here for this week and next week, so I think they have something in mind. At 3:30 is Mariev with The French Connection. At 5 o'clock, Native Solidarity News. At 6 o'clock is Are You Aware with Christian and Fleur, and Exquisite Corpse by the always excellent Bleak at 7:30. Thanks for listening today, folks. I don't know what else to say. I'm going to end the show off with some Buckingham Nicks, kind of going with their stuff. I really recommend checking out The Selves. I really enjoyed it, and I think you will too. Bye-bye.
Rude boys, don't cry, don't cry.
Rude boy, don't cry.
Roses. Ska music,
you make me dance all night.
Ska music, you're alright.
One, two.
I don't know, you're just a little
bit. Ska team, Scenic Drive, every Friday morning, 10 a.m. till noon, CITR.
Bond. James Bond.
Got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Just a sweet transvestite.
all Transylvania.
Where else can you see Hollywood blockbusters, midnight cult classics, indie films, live music, burlesque, stand-up comedy, poetry slams, and live sporting events all at your local theater? The Rio Theater, voted number one in East Vancouver. Your neighborhood indie theater that promotes all things cool.
The Rio Theater is entering the third dimension with its brand new state-of-the-art 3D projector. Don't miss Piranha 3D at the Rio Theater.
1160 East Broadway, commercial. For more info, go to riotheater.ca.